So the way people treated me back home, and when my daughter was born, and when she was growing up, and then again I got pregnant with my son, I was just like a woman giving birth, and I was, by 19, I was a mother of two. And one sudden day I lifted my daughter, and I started seeing me in her, and I got scared. I actually peed in my pants saying, shit, is she going to be the same one? Is she going to be doing the same things as me, and she's going to be a young mother, and she's going to do certain things at home and sacrifice and compromise? And the answer was no.
Welcome to my podcast, Grow Your Influence. And in this episode, I have with me Meena Chhabria. She's the head of sales at PVR. She's heading the South India region, and she has some amazing insights in marketing out there. Well, this woman has been doing really, really well in the space of women empowerment. She is a coach. She is helping a lot of women unleash her true potential. At the same time, she has been doing exceptionally well in her corporate career. And how does she balance all of this? Well, let's learn from her directly and see how interesting is PVR's marketing and certain tricks that we possibly were not aware of. I enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure you will enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Let's watch it. Hi, first of all, thank you for being part of my show, and I'm so excited to have you as my first guest of the podcast. So welcome to my show, Meena.
Thank you, sir. I think it's a blessing to be alongside with a mentor like you. It's so special.
My pleasure. You know, it's I've seen your growth. I've seen you, how much of heart you put into whatever you do. So I thought it would be very exciting to have you on my show, and also for my audiences to hear you and listen to your journey.
Thank you so much for the trust and faith.
Pleasure. Are we ready?
Yes, we are.
All right. Before I get started, I have something for you.
Okay. And that's... That's a $1 million thing, right?
You should have asked me. I would have got it alongside.
No, this time it was on me. Okay. Because it's every time on you, right?
So, can I just taste it if it's
fresh?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, go for it. It's just all in, yeah. So it's a $1 million question. And the question is, the moment PVR acquired Satyam, okay? It's a public opinion that Satyam's craze is going. PVR is almost killing Satyam. What's your take on that?
So as an employee, my take is that we use the best practices of any organization. See, when two giants come together, it's very important to understand that we're going to take the best practices and leave the bad practices, right? So one of the best thing we adopted is Satyam Popcorn's recipe. And I think we are full-fledged 100% Satyam Popcorn now. So I don't see a worry on that bit. And as a person, I think Satyam had this more customer-friendly, that love and life to it, which PVR is a Delhi brand. And we always say Delhi alonga dil bada hai. So I think we're mapping it equally.
So you're trying to say that Satyam Popcorn's taste is now going to be pan-India?
It is pan-India already.
Oh, wow.
It is pan-India.
So that's a good win, basically.
Yes, it is.
So why are people saying that it's losing its charm? It's no more Satyam. It's all PVR-ish. Why do you think so?
So, I mean, acceptance for anything is very tough, especially when it's a North Indian brand or a North Indian, representative. I think I can tell you this proudly, because if you see Jawan's acceptance in South, for a Tamil movie, dub movie, it's very less than the Hindi, right? So it's a little change in accepting and perception. But otherwise, I think we have adopted the best practices.
Fantastic. So, you know, a lot of people don't exactly know how does box office actually work. So, for example, when there is a movie released, they always show some numbers like 100 crores, 200 crores, 300 crores. We exactly don't know what does this number mean. How much does PVR actually make, or the theater actually make? And what does that number mean to the director or the producer of the movie? If you would like to decode this little detail, I think it will be an amazing insight for many people out there.
Sure. And I think I should do one more podcast with you on the business of movie, how it works. But however, since it's a question related to PVR, I'll give it to you in a simplified format. Whatever movie comes, it's a percentage share. It could be 70-30 with the PVR, or 50-50, or 60-40. So if a ticket is sold at 200 rupees, which is our average ticket price, then we get 50% of the ticket price, and we survive from the 50%. So Chennai's ticket is 192 or 194 for a Tamil, and it's 200 for a Hindi thing. Then it's 50-50% for a bigger thing. And there's a minimum cap for 4 weeks, because before 4 weeks, OTT can't have a content. So for 4 weeks, it keeps changing every week. The first week it'll be at 50, the second week it'll be at 45, the third week it'll be at 40. But there's a formula and a number which the producer and the PVR agrees to it mutually.
Wow. And that's mutually agreed upon in advance.
Very well in advance.
Right. Yeah. So gradually it increases or decreases?
It decreases. The more the run, the more the money we make.
Right. So that's how you basically decide how long a movie should sustain inside the theater. When is that? There's a call that you need to take, right? For example, let's say Adi Purush, we went as a team. So I'm sure it didn't sustain for longer duration inside the theater. So when do you take such calls that, okay, fine, this is the time we need to just buzz this off?
I mean, Saurav, it's so easy these days because content is a king, right? Agar pehle hafta tumhara movie full house full chal gaya, then there's nothing else to be done. Like, I can talk to you about a recent movie now, Mark Antony by Vishal sir. We opened the tickets in Satyam Devi Festival. 30 minutes the tickets were sold out. So content is a king, and people are now more more aware and also more clear on what kind of content they're able to read trailers. Earlier kya hota tha, 4 hafte pehle, 5 weeks pehle trailer release ho jata tha. Now you see everything is 2 weeks before, 1 week before. So people also know what kind of content they should now search for. So at the end, just to answer your question, content is the king. We have nothing other than content to decide the factor of the success of the movie.
Right. So I still didn't get the hang. So when do we decide that, okay, this is the time we have to say goodbye to this movie? Let's say Gadar is successful.
If it doesn't perform on the tickets don't sell, and if it doesn't perform on the weekend.
So it's a gradual call that's taken pan-India or certain locations. How?
Obviously, the number of screens we give, it's about, say, for example, 500 and 400 are performing and 100 are not, then 100 will be replaced with our next best content, which is playing. So, for example, Adi Purush and Jawan releases, and Jawan is doing really well and Adi Purush is not, then the screens get Jawan screens more and Adi Purush slowly gets out, because if there's no demand in the market, why would you supply? It's a supply and demand formula.
Right. Makes sense. Yeah. You work closely with various actors. I've seen personally on your Instagram, there's been a lot of photos and moments with them. Who has been your top three or favorite three, and why is that so?
Okay, so my first ever favorite is Shilpa Shetty. One, because she's my friend. Second, I think we both have the common ground of coming up from a middle class family to a level now. She's been a successful star, but also, you know, in my own industry, I'm very successful. So it's really that. And I think as women, it's a lot more tougher to be in the industry than the men. So for us both, we have the mutual respect, and she's one person whom I always look up to. The second person is Vishal sir. Vishal and I go long back, and it's always whenever I need help, and you know, whenever he needs help, we both are there for each other. So that's number two. The third is, recently I'm getting close with Nayanthara. I think I have a lot in common with her, because a 10-15 minutes conversation I have with her is so intellectual, and she's
intense,
and she's also such a simple soul. You know, I love her, because I and my daughter were talking about chicken and rice, and she suddenly said, are you girls talking about rice and chicken? Can I also please have some chicken? So that humbler person, I think there's a beautiful saying which Suren told me, as you vibrate in life, you only meet people of the certain vibrancy. So these are the kind of people I'm meeting and mingling with. So I'm really proud to have these kind of go-to friends.
Makes sense. Perfect. So you joined PVR as what? And how did you climb the ladder? So how has been your journey, and how many years you've been working with this company now?
So I joined PVR as an assistant manager for Chennai. I started the revenue of 50 lakhs. And today I'm at 150 crores.
Wow.
And
that's amazing.
14 years now.
14 years, yeah. And 150 crores.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I call myself a successful failure within the system, because, you know, I never wanted to go outside Tamil Nadu. I always was fixed to a mindset, and West was something, Bombay market was something I was looking for. So it took me time. First 7 years, the promotion was very slow, but after proving a certain cap of numbers, it was very easy for me to climb the ladder. And yes, December 22nd, I complete 14 years. It's going to be the 15th year.
Wow, brilliant. So in the era of OTT, we have seen a lot of movies releasing and then just buzzing off the theater. Which have been those top three movies in the recent times, the last few years, where you've seen that it's done significantly well in the box office? What's the favorite which you think you would like to talk about? Yeah.
The first one is by Ashok Selvan, Porthulil. Sleeper hit. What money is, yeah. You know, 5x or 6x of the investment. The second movie was Good Night. You know, I saw the trailer and I told this producer, it's a sleeper hit. And
Good
it's,
Night.
Yeah, Good
it's
Night.
It's a Tamil movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful movie again. So, I can give you two more. One is a Malayalam movie, 2018. And the last one is Kashmir Files. You know, what a story. The Kashmir Files, I think it was a sleeper hit where people didn't even estimate that this would go to a certain number without any marketing push. It was all sold by word of mouth.
I mean, I think these are all brilliant movies. I think I've watched Kashmir Files and I was, you know, completely blown by the way the movie has been done. I think the word of mouth of the movie, right? Sometimes you don't need marketing. It's just a word of mouth. Okay. You know, you spoke about certain actors that you personally loved working with. I personally have seen one of your reels where you speak about working with Rajinikanth has been phenomenal. How's that been and what has been your relationship with him as a person?
So, you know, it's very heart-touching also because I tell this to many people. The number of times I've met, sir, I don't know what happens. I just calm down in a certain level because I think we share the spiritual energies also.
Wow.
That's the first factor. Both of us understand when our eyes speak about, you know, life and love and stuff. The second thing is I've traveled with him for 4-5 movies. In fact, Kabali, I've worked with him. Darbar, you'll see my name on the thing. So 4-5 films I've worked with him. And I went personally with him. And after the movie ends, he will see where I am and he'll say, you have done a good job. You have done a good job. I mean, how many stars will do this, right? And the third important point, which I can't miss out, is when I launched my book, The Unstoppable. So my team was like, you know, why should people read your book? What is there in that book? It's a biography. It's an autobiography. Everybody will write. What is it? And then one of these reporters called me and said that, but I would suggest you not to call this a biography, but a memoir because you're too young for a biography. I said, but doesn't matter. You know, I've seen it all young, so I really want to release it. So then on a fun part, someone told me from my team, if Rajinikanth sends the endorsement, then you'll become big man. People will want to read that book. I was like, wow, that makes sense. So I called his manager and I was like, sir, can I have a sign from the book and I want to publish it. You won't believe, Saurav, it took him 5 minutes to sign the book and give me. Like, who does it for whom? He is a superstar of the industry and today my book is rocking because it has that marketing connect.
Amazing. So it's also because your networking skills.
I think so. I would agree to a certain level, but I also think more than networking skills, it's about the intent that you put in universe because a star like Rajinikanth or Nayanthara or Shilpa Shetty and everyone, these are evolved souls. They look at very high energy, you know, mediation between two people and they read it. And I think that's something I'm really blessed to work alongside.
Intent that you put in universe is beautifully said there. You know, this is one of the most interesting observations about you. You have amazing networking skill. And I have seen that whenever you network with someone, you first give, you're a giver. So would you like to share something about what's those three important mantra or few pieces of advice when you network with people?
The first would be that don't push yourself because the common platform about networking is, are you both on the same level? Are you thinking alike?
Right.
That's the most important. The second would be for me is that why do you meet someone to waste their time? No, we are networking for certain business exchanges. Otherwise, you think, Saurav, if you and I meet commonly for 5 days, you'll be bored.
Right.
Because the conversations are two different things. I might gossip about something, you might talk about business. So common platform of understanding business as a thing and synchronizing that how can you help that person and how can that person help you? That's the second common aspect of networking. The third will be willingness to learn from the other person and then introduce him in the market as a pro and then learn that skill from him. This is what I've been doing for a long time. Like if I see something interesting on the internet, I call this in my module, Network Like a Pro, how to make your weaker ties stronger. For example, 6 weeks back, I know Saurav Jain, one of the biggest influencers in the social media. How do I connect with him? How do I reach out to him? How do I talk to him? How do I make my business thing? And see where we are in 8 or 10 weeks. I get messages every day. Like, how are you able to make it? So this is more a heart-to-heart connect.
Right. I still remember you. You happened to message me because I commented on one of the posts.
Yeah.
And that's how it began.
We started, yeah.
Yeah. And we happened to meet and the discussions went forward, right? I think brilliant because I think you never hesitate to make that first mover advantage.
Yeah.
regardless of where you stand or what's your position. And that's something I like about you.
That, to add up on one thing, this is one thing I never feel about myself, is I never feel small in front of another person. I feel big.
Right.
And I feel equal.
Amazing.
And that's what networking skill is all about. When the moment you feel equal and the moment you're ready to put your skin in the game, that takes you to a different level.
You know, recently this popcorn was in conversations on Twitter. I think one of the journalists took a screenshot or a photograph of the price of the popcorn and the price of the Pepsi. And he made a tweet about it saying that how these theaters charge exorbitantly for the snacks. So it's been an expensive affair.
Yeah.
So what's your take on that, number one? And what measures did we take after that?
I mean, personally, as a person, when I go to Satyam, I will be like, oh my God, 500 rupees for a popcorn normally.
Right, yeah.
But as an employee, I understand that there's a lot of cost involved. Tell me, 100 rupees ka, how do you manage your expenses in 100 rupees? Like food and FMCG is the only way. And I was reading an interesting article yesterday about Indigo. They make 750 crores in a year by selling food in flight. But nobody goes in a flight and asks why the upma, which is easy, which is available in Nilgiris at 60 rupees, is at 250 in the air. The same packet, there's no difference. But our popcorn or our FNB has a certain standard. Like the popcorn, why is it expensive? Because of corn kernels come from international farms. We grow it in a certain way. Quality controlled. We don't use normal makhan. We use branded. I don't want to name the brand, but branded butter. We use the best of flavors. And that's why it's expensive. But again, coming back to the campaign which happened between this journalist thing, we did introduce certain combos at a very throwaway price, like 99 and 1. And it just shook the food revenue also up.
Wow.
And we learned from these mistakes.
There's some crazy combo, right? Refill combo or something like that.
The Pepsi. And I saw this guy yesterday. He actually bought a water bottle with him and he was filling the Pepsi. And my guy was going on filling it and doing it. But Indians, we know how it works.
Yeah, wow. Logically, it's like 10 of you just get one refill and keep sharing. That's a hack, basically. Yeah. Good one. You know, you have been jurors of one of the Homepreneurs Award. I've recently saw you on the jury list. And when I was talking about it, you said, you know, there are certain things about women that you observed. Some of them were winners, some of them did not win. What was the differentiation between women who won and those women who were not capable of winning the award? What did you see?
Brilliant question. Yeah. I'll tell you what happened. For me, in my mind, and for a lot of you, we thought that women, you know, job appearance is 18 or 20% or whatever, 30%. And, you know, women at work are very less now. But man, this was crazy. There were 10,000 of women doing small businesses, homework, like chocolates banana, sabun bechna, sanitary pads ka kaam karana. I was in the health and fitness category. And what made the person one is, like, one of these women came to us and she actually showed us how a sanitary napkin, if cut and used, what kind of water usage, how much it was, and how it went. So the marketing pitch basically
was amazing.
Was amazing. What lost is many women who are there as homepreneurs, who have been at home and have been supported by amazing men and family, don't know how to pitch a product.
They don't know how to market it.
They don't know how to market. And me being a marketer, the first thing was marketing. And how are you able to sell and talk numbers? None of them were able to. Those who lost, I would not say they lost because of the idea, but they lost because of expressing the idea to someone.
Wow.
So I think that way it was saying. And I would also appreciate the fact that, you know, I would definitely love to be a part of these women, training them to understand, coach them to understand how they should pitch and present themselves in a certain manner and not be emotional. But I also saw, sort of, to tell you, women from Coimbatore in numbers, like, more than 30% were from Coimbatore. All the way they travel and come, and they're there to show that what they're doing. Beautiful, yeah. I love the way it was.
You're trying to say that the zeal of women from two tier cities is much, much higher than the zeal from the people in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they want to prove themselves. Maybe they don't want to miss this opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see, suddenly, like, my designer Nikita is from Nagpur. She is a designer for Shreya Saran also.
Wow.
So, I would never have imagined in my mind that a girl from Nagpur is doing such amazing costumes for stars, A stars and B stars. So, yeah, I think women now are acknowledging and knowing their worth which was very less earlier.
So city is no more an excuse, saying that, oh, I come from a big city or I'm from the not so big city, so the opportunities are scarce, considering that digital has made all of them united today and almost treat each one of them equally online.
Yeah. And on this point, there's one more point. And like, you know, I'm moving to Coimbatore in 6-7 months, and I want to move on because I want my time.
You keep saying this, Coimbatore.
Yeah.
Is that like a gunpoint ki main ja rahi hu Coimbatore times?
No, but that's a fact. Yeah. Because I know that I will have more focused time. Tier 2, the reason why I'm trying to tell you this is Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities give you that space and time to think about certain things and don't hold you on a atmosphere. Like, tell me something. Coimbatore is 40 kilometers in and around. Khatam ho gaya pura city. Chennai from one place to other. Tumhara office itna dur rehta hai. Your conveyance time is so huge. So those time and spaces I can just, you know, use. And these women are doing that. So that's why I think if you see Tier 2, Tier 3, women or men also. Right. There are some singers I see and people I see in the forums on the internet. They're all like chote chote gaon se, but they're doing so well for themselves. Yeah, because they have more time for them.
Yeah. Also, that I was in Coimbatore recently, the quality of education in Coimbatore is fantabulous. The kind of innovation that's happening in the education space there is massive. Yes. Maybe there's a lot more school of thought going in education space yes. there compared to regular things that's happening in the city. Yeah. So, you know, I read your book, Unstoppable. And I think it's one of the, I think, best books for women out there who's, you know, struggling, starting up. In your book, you wrote this, I've written this, like how your mother-in-law asked you to clean vessels on the day of your reception. Like, yeah. So I think from my perspective, different house has different rules, right? And I think at that point of time when you did this, and how did you overcome that phase and created your own rules? Because a lot of times, people are stuck with the rules that's set by the family out there and they're not able to overcome that. So how did you do that?
So I told this to Blair in MTS. I'm sure this program changed my life. And after this is the first time I'm opening up about it. So the way people treated me back home and when my daughter was born and when she was growing up and then again I got pregnant with my son. I was just like a woman giving birth. And I was, by 19, I was a mother of two. And one sudden day, I lifted my daughter and I started seeing me in her and I got scared. I actually peed in my pants saying, oh, shit, is she going to be the same one? Is she going to be doing the same things as me? And she's going to be a young mother and she's going to do certain things at home and sacrifice and compromise. And the answer was no. And, you know, slowly I started taking calls about my values, which still today I follow, if someone compromises with my value, it's a definite no. Very definite no. And it took me all the strength to gather myself over a period of time and take a call as strong as divorce when my son was just 21 days old.
Wow.
But I did that because I knew my value will go longer than my emotional equation with my family.
Wow. So you respected your value system more than anything else?
Yes, I did.
Brilliant. Amazing. I think it's very inspiring to take that call because I think many people don't know how to take that call.
Yeah, so I was saying in my recent interview, the press asked me that how stronger did you feel after divorce? I said, let's rewrite it. How strong were you to take this call?
Right.
Because it would have taken you some point to build it up and say someone that I'm leaving you because these are not something that I'll walk upon. That was a young age where I didn't know. Think about it, at night, 12 o'clock, I'm taking my two suitcases and walking away without even a rupee in hand.
Amazing. Women at work, what do you think they need to do to step up in their lives?
They need to stop gossiping and leaving issues as gossips.
Right.
Like I see, you know, what happens? Kuch hoga na, they will talk to two women. They will go to the second woman. Acha aisa ho gaya. Then they'll go to another guy. Aisa ho. So five people they talk to and they forget. But where's the core issue? The core issue is still there. If someone has mistreated you, someone has not promoted you, someone has not taken you for seriously, someone is not listening to you, someone has not voiced you, please go and talk and put your point very clear. And I have a very strong career map. I will sit in my map. I will say, this is my career map. I will go whether in 1 year I got promoted, elevated. Yes, no. Good, bad. You know that, right?
Right.
So you please go and stop being so casual about your work because you're not a machine for homework and office work. You are an individual who needs to prove your self-worth. And that can only happen if you're first serious about you and stop gossiping about it.
True. I think gossiping, not just from a very own career perspective, but also I think it's a lot of fixed mindset, right? When people just sit down and gossip at workplace about the workplace itself or about their own career choices, they pretty much, they're not able to take that call on how do they improvise themselves or the company that they work for, is what my beliefs are like.
So yeah. I also have this formula for me, and it's first time I'm telling you, I tell this to everyone.
Right.
To all my team, have rip situation in your pocket. And they'll say, what is this rip situation? First, they didn't understand. They used to think it's casual. I said, if you have so much worth now for yourself and your work, then have resignation in your pocket and walk away when you think things are not working for you. It's called the rip situation.
Rip situation. Brilliant. So I'm sure a lot of you must be taking the rip situation seriously from here. Okay. So at the workplace, have you ever come across a challenge of facing a male chauvinist? And, you know, because a lot of women face that in India, because whenever I talk to women in a leadership position, she says, it's very difficult to deal with men at a leadership position, or very difficult to make a co-colleague listen to you. So have you ever come across a situation like that?
Yeah, so there are two situations, rather three I will give you. The first is, it's a lot more harder to deal with a woman at work than a man.
Wow.
Okay, because when there's a woman at work, she has a strong mindset, you have a strong mindset, it's very tough. And in my case, I think my CEO Gautam, I'm blessed because I worked with him for 15 years. And last week when we were discussing about this, me quitting half the zone and focusing on my life and my career, he was so open about it.
Wow.
And he's one person who's led my life to a different level. So I would definitely give up to him in that point. And I told you about Pula. The third point is about people who are going to work for you, like your junior resources, especially in the South market, because I've been handling South for a long lot of time. Them understanding you as a leader is very tough.
Right.
And I've faced this many times. And I have a simple, easy formula. Very simple. So whenever I feel that male ego is coming in front, I'll tell them, let's sit both of us equally on a desktop. I give them a standard exercise of Excel. And then I ask my accounts guy to take 10 printouts. And I tell them, differentiate which is yours and which is mine.
Right.
You know, that's how equality is taught. That in work, no computer, no nothing knows who did it, male or female. It is data and it's done in a system. So why do we consider that? And finally, after 7 years of hard work, now they understand that she's an important part of our career. And
wow,
it's nice to understand that.
Amazing. Some good point there. Equality on the basis of showcasing we have similar work skills.
Right? Nobody talks about it, right?
Right. So, you know, one question from the movie industry. How does this OTT work? Like, you know, suddenly a call is taken by the movie producer that the movie has to go on to OTT now. The moment the movie is off the theaters, it's on the OTT. How do they actually make money?
So, if you go back to the 2017-18 interviews of mine, 18-19, when OTT was starting and this boom was happening, I said OTT will become one more way of selling, but not the prime focus of selling. See, pandemic mein OTT watch karna versus now, it's a very different game. Pandemic, we had all the time, we had all the, work from home options and free options, so we can sit across, and I'm sure you and I did this, like I did this every night, hanging around the TV, watching this entire series and next day sleeping in the morning, but we don't have any cushion like that anymore, right?
We don't have time.
Like
yesterday night, I was watching a movie on OTT and it was 10:30 and my son is like, Dad, I have exam tomorrow, can you please switch off? So we had to.
Yeah, so OTT is one more means of selling, and yes, producers do make money out of it, which is good for them because they're putting in a lot of hard work and, you know, the effort, and the stars are making money. But if you ask me in a direct way, cinema versus OTT, I think cinema for two reasons. One, the large screen presence. Koi bhi actor jo industry mein aata hai na, he doesn't come for showing in the TV. He wants to be seen as a superstar on the screen. The second, and like I said, if you're selling a movie, if you're watching a movie in PVR or any cinema, you get 50-50 or 40 revenue. So which means, agar 200 rupees bhi hota hai, 50-50 bhi kar lete, 100 rupees goes to the producer and 100. OTT is 1 or 2 rupees per eyeball as you watch. So the more number of people watch in cinema, it's an extra benefit and profit to them. So I think cinema wins the game. And last month, August, we cracked 1.96 crore footfall.
Wow.
1.96
massive.
Crore. Massive. Now, to just understand data, India's 150 crore population, ओके, आउट ऑफ विच मोदी जी ड्यूरिंग पैंडमिक अनाउंस किया 80-90 करोड़, तो ऐसे ही बिलो द बेल्ट लाइन में 50 करोड़ लोग हैं. 50-60 करोड़ लोगों में ओनली मीडिया हु कैन डिफ्रेंशिएट एंड टेल यू दैट दीज पीपल कम एंड दे स्पेंड दिस मच, बिकॉज आर स्पेंड्स आर वेरी ईजी. टुडे रेडियो कैन टेल यू माई लिसनर हैज 200 रुपीज बाइंग कैपेसिटी, बट आई कैन टेल यू इट्स अ मूवी कैन ईजिली टेल यू. सो वी हैव द मोस्ट क्रीम द ला क्रीम क्राउड इन सिनेमा.
राइट, that's where all the cream advertisements are in the theaters. Brilliant out there. Okay,
and we're looking forward to see Saurabh Jain's digital scholar coming up soon there.
God bless. Yeah, okay, one last question. See, I, you know, this is off the subject now. Personally, I've seen you have the zeal for learning, zeal for growing, you know, at this age. That's very inspiring. A lot of women there needs to learn that someone has to be, or all of us have to be, lifelong learners. And I'm a very strong believer of that. The day I stop learning is the day I stop growing. And I see the same quality in you, right? Now, what keeps you going? Like, I see that there is always some new energy there. What keeps you going?
The fear of losing the game, the FOMO, keeps me growing. And I think the second is, I did have an uneducated background. And, you know, I say this a lot nowadays because I see most of this men, women wearing a Prada, a Louis Vuitton, and carrying the most expensive bags, behaving a thing. But the point of, you know, Saraswati Ji in your life, the point of God blessing you with that education, God keeping you on that edge to say that, do this, you're going to elevate yourself, do that, you're going to elevate yourself. And that hunger to live life is something which keeps me going. And the second thing is, till about last week, it was about the, I was a very cocooned person. It was me, the children, and my mother, and the family. But now I think I have a larger cause to the society, and I really want to do something big for others. And I've started in a small way. I'll go big way. I think it's life for life. I want to give life to people who need life, and I want to gain their energies to learn my life.
Beautiful. I think that's some amazing thought there. And I think that's the thought I would like to end this podcast with, right? Give life to get their life or their energies back. And that's brilliant. It was a pleasure hosting you today, Meena.
Thank you so much.
And I'm sure this is going to inspire a lot of women out there. Not just women, a lot of men out there as well. Because one of the biggest takeaways has been that she said she was not educated, right? And that can't put her into a victim identity. So she decided to step up to educate herself and prove herself in the industry. So I'm very proud of you. Thank you so much for being here today.
I couldn't have asked God anything better than having a conversation with you, because I'm in a healing phase. And this conversation is healing me more because it reiterates where you started and how you started. So thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Passing on my healing energies to you. God bless you, Meena. Thank you.
So this was Meena Chhabria for you all. Her journey from a compromised marriage to a leading position in PVR is truly inspirational. She stands as a beacon of inspiration for all the women entrepreneurs out there who are striving to make it big in their industries. We have a lot more podcasts planned with amazing celebrities who will soon come up to share more tips, growth, and journeys for you all. So stay connected and subscribe to the channel for more updates.